Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You feel any sympathy for former Bull Jimmy Butler, who won't get to make a patented playoff improvement due to an MCL? Did he have his moment last year? What about Alex Caruso, who Woj sounded optimistic about in a tweet yesterday? Will he play?
I assume this is a trick question. I think everyone knows better than to ask if I would have any sympathy for Jimmy Butler. No, absolutely not. Not worried about Jimmy Butler's future. I really don't care if he plays in this series. No, I don't feel sorry for him. It's a break for the Bulls. It's also a trap. As we said, you cannot go into South Florida with the idea that, okay, Jimmy's not there, playoff Jimmy's gone, and the Bulls are going to take advantage and cruise. There's nothing easy about this Bulls team. There's nothing to be assumed. They make the easy look hard. They have done that too often this season to take anything for granted. The Heat still have Kevin Love. Yes, he's still there. They still have Bam. They still have Tyler Hero, who can light it up. I know he can also shoot 9 for 27, but he can light it up. And they have the Heat culture. They have Eric Spoelstra. They have every reason to think that the Bulls can't go in there and take a play-in game lightly. This is the postseason. Alex Caruso, my best guess is that he plays. As the injury report improved within hours, so last night it looked like his mindset is to play until his body tells him he can't. And the swelling around the left ankle, according to reports, not as bad. It's been reduced. So maybe that increases the optimism. I would be optimistic for the Bulls if I'm going in there. You have to think positive. You have to be wary, but you have to be positive and play with confidence. The matchup that you want to watch, DeMar DeRozan being guarded by Jaime Jaquez, the rookie. DeRozan delivered an education the first time they met way back in October, I think it was. And it was Jaquez's welcome to the NBA kind of moment, and he's referenced that. And that is the one they can take advantage of tonight. So I think that, yes, you look forward to this. No sympathy for Jimmy. And the Bulls, if they can play with as much focus as they showed the other night, I think they're going to have a good night.
Zero sympathy for Jimmy Butler. Once you're out of here, you're out of here. He's not a Bull in my mind. He is a member of the Heat. I mean, I respect the fact that he played, 30 more minutes with this MCL injury, trying to get his team past the 76ers the other night. And that was a super competitive contest. Yes, Alex Caruso, I would bet, will be playing tonight. Now, how effective he will be, we'll have to wait and see. What I'm most interested in is, can Kobe White have, I mean, I don't expect 42, but, you know, can he have 30? Can he be, 50% or at least or better from three-point distance? These are some of the things that I'm looking for tonight.
What's the bigger game, Kobe White or Tyler Hero? And does the winner of that, if the answer to that is yes, whoever it is, does that team win?
Yes, I think that's a really good barometer. Absolutely.
I don't feel bad for Jimmy. I'm with Dustin and you, David. I mean, once you're not a Bull, I really don't care for you no more.
Unless Jimmy who?
Right. Unless you're like a Chicagoland guy. That was the only time I really cared. But Jimmy, nah, you had your time. It's over and done with. When it comes to this, I think Alex Caruso will play. And you kind of need him to kind of diffuse that Heat culture. You need players like him because, see, this is the thing with the Bulls. One thing that they do is they'll play well against good teams. And then you're hearing the news, no Jimmy Butler. You're like, okay, we got a chance. We got a chance.
Exhale.
And then next thing you know, we get blown out or something like that. And I think I saw in certain betting apps that right now Kobe, the over-under for his points is like 21.5. I'll take that in a heartbeat. right now. I do agree with you guys. If Kobe, you want to stop Tyler Hero. He's the key to me. If you stop Tyler Hero, you can win this game. And you need Alex Caruso on that, along with Dosunmu. And if DeRozan can really ball out in this game, they should be able to take over this game.
Well, that's a good question.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer. He joins the Mully and Haw show at 8 a.m. on Fridays with Jamison Tyone activated yesterday to start the game. Will he presumably do so today? The team made the corresponding move by sending Arizona hero Hayden Wesnitzki back to Iowa. Tough, right? Are you pleased to see Patrick Wisdom back and Miles Mastroboni back at AAA Iowa?
Let's start with the pitching. I think Hayden Wesnitzki, you're exactly right when you talked, Dustin, earlier in the segment about this is just going to be the way that he probably spends much of the season on the shuttle back between Des Moines and Chicago or wherever they happen to be playing, and they get him up at 1 in the morning and get him to the team on time. Did you see the other part of that? The other Brewer, the pitcher they added, they got a hold of him. They couldn't reach him either. So Marty Peavy, the AAA manager, went to the hotel desk and they had the receptionist call him and break the news and congratulate him. That's funny stuff. But the Cubs, yeah, they send Wesnitzki back down. Tyone, I'm excited about his debut. Until he ruins his debut or until he looks like a guy who struggled through the first part of last year, I'm going to be hopeful that he can start this season on the right foot and the extra couple weeks that he's had to recover and now he starts. Let's hope that he is the guy they're paying him to be.
Yes, agreed. Let's hope he is that guy. You got the fish in town, the Marlins. They have not been great, to say the least, this season. You know, it's tough, right? But life's tough. Hayden Wesnitzki sent back down. But again, it's because he has options. Interesting text, guys, from where did this go? The 219. Could Ben Brown be moving into a closer role this weekend?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Why?
Because I don't want the next time, and they didn't do it, the next time the Cubs have a chance to close the game,
yeah.
I don't think Adbert Alzolay deserves to get the ball at that point, and I don't want Drew Smyly in that role. I said to you the other day, how about Mark Leiter? But again, if you got the stuff... Again, if there are no defined roles, David, as Craig Counsell likes to say, you're an out-getter, right?
Out-getter.
Okay, Ben Brown's an out-getter. Go get an out. In the ninth, I'm fine with it. Let's see it. Why not? He's not – at this point, David, he doesn't have a spot. He's not starting. So
he should be.
You could do – I'm not disagreeing with that.
He's such a good starting pitcher, we want to make him a closer.
Well, maybe just for this weekend. Keep him sharp.
Wisniewski there, or Wisnasty.
I mean, I'm disappointed by this, honestly. I like Hayden. And I always thought, like, I think Dustin kind of mentioned it. I like him in that bullpen role. Like, I like, you need outs. And kind of tying into what Dustin's saying, I kind of do like the Ben Brown, not as a closer, but I do like maybe that bullpen role with him. And then you got Hayden in there as well. I want the young pitchers to be in the bullpen to get outs. What another name? We're talking about closers. I do like the Leiter one. That was the one I was thinking of. But here's another one. What about like Keegan Thompson? What about him?
I would rather see
I like
that.
Him.
I would rather see Keegan Thompson be auditioned as a closer in waiting than Ben Brown being viewed as such a good starting pitcher. You need to put him in the bullpen.
I want young arms coming out that bullpen just to get out. So that's just me. Also, when it comes to I like that Patrick Wisdom's back. He's been crushing it down there in the minor league. So with that being said, Miles Mastroboni, I mean, he's okay. He's just a guy to me. So him going back down to Iowa doesn't do nothing for me.
But answering Dustin's question previously, Patrick Wisdom in three seasons with the Cubs has only played 14 games in right field.
I'm just curious. I mean, Garrett Cooper's not playing right field, right?
That's true.
Michael Bush doesn't play right field, does he?
No.
And Mike Tauchman is the guy that you sit down against left-handers,
maybe,
correct?
Maybe.
Well, I mean, isn't
AJ
that...
AJ Puck?
Well, I
don't know. I want to see Tauchman.
That's why I said, what about today, Christopher Morel in right field?
No.
And Wisdom at third? Because...
Don't you want to find, like, a solid position, though, for
yes,
Christopher Morel,
Morel
though? Like, I mean, he's actually
base.
Getting better, and then you move him, and then it's just like a setback, I feel.
Too much tinkering.
I'm not going to take any questions.
Will the White Sox win a game in Philly over the weekend against the Phillies? Or maybe a better question is, how many runs will they score in the three-game series? Anything you look forward to seeing as we ask our courtesy White Sox question
That's
here?
That's mean. That's really mean. Garrett Crochet pitches tonight. This is the best chance to win a game. Garrett Crochet has been very good. Doesn't have a record that reflects it. He's 1-2. Forget about the records. He's got 31 strikeouts already this season. He gives the Sox their best chance to win tonight. After tonight, I'm not sure they're going to score more than 6 runs all weekend, maybe even including tonight. That may be the weekend output. Can they score more than 6 runs in Philadelphia over the weekend? That would be a nice FanDuel prop. I don't know that they can. This offense is historically bad. Garrett Crochet, I don't think they win tonight. I think they get swept. Hate to say that, but the Sox have given us no reason to believe. 3-15, they're staring at 3-18.
Wow, David's calling for the sweep. I might make that number 10 as far as how many runs. I think you get a lot of action at 10, over under 10 in 3 games. So you figure three runs a game on average, and which game can they get over the top on that one? I think that would be a really fun bet, and I agree with whichever sports betting outlet wants to put that up. Maybe it's a special Mully and Haw show prop bet. Our friends at Circus Sports Illinois may want to do that. But Garrett Crochet is a reason to watch if you are a White Sox fan. But again, tonight, you're listening and watching the Bulls.
Yes.
So, like, if anything, if you're not a great sleeper, DVR the Crochet start, follow it on Twitter, get multiple devices going, whatever you got to do. But the number one event tonight are the Bulls at the Heat, at the Jimmy Butler-less Heat.
No.
This is because
tonight. Because no.
Because no. The Heat is like everybody else tonight without a Butler.
Father,
I looking at this one, and I mean, of course, they're not going to win this series, of course. But the one matchup, like you said, is the one against Garrett Crochet. That's probably your best chance. Besides that, I do like this over under of how many runs they will score this weekend. Like 5.5. Will the over under this weekend total for these games? Can they get over 5 runs? Eloy's back.
Maybe that helps. I take the over barely.
I might take 5. I might take right at 5.
So you're going to go over 6. What about my over of 10?
I would go under.
Under 10?
If the number
over
is
6,
10,
over 10?
If the number is 10, I'm going under. If the number is 6, I'm probably going over. I think they probably will score 7 runs.
Wait, 10 runs? You saying 10 runs this weekend for the Sox?
In 3 games.
Yeah. 3?
That's.
I think that gets the most action, and that's the goal, right? The goal is to get the most. I'm sure the the tickets purchase would be on the under, but maybe the money would be on the over.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to seeing these games. I'm being honest with you. I mean, the Garrett Crochet one, but just bad timing right now because I'm going to be watching Bulls.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's a tough question.
What's the craziest draft rumor you've heard about the Bears in the last week?
It is silly season. You're hearing a lot of speculation, not so much around the Bears as much as the teams in front of the Bears. The Patriots chatter has been fascinating. The Vikings moving up and trying to put themselves in a position to get a quarterback has been fascinating and fun. As far as the Bears go, I think the wildest rumor or the craziest draft rumor might be that they would package next year's first-round draft pick with a collection of picks or a swap of picks and to move up to 6 to draft Joe Alt or to wherever they need to go to draft a left tackle. Because of the left tackles in this draft, because of guys that I think make it a deep draft. Talk to Mark Schlereth on the Take the North podcast. We'll hear some of what Stink had to say later about this draft. I think that would might be a little crazy for the Bears' taste, a little bit more of an overspend than you need to, even though I would respect Joe Alt's presence in Chicago and think he would be great on that offensive line. But to me, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in this draft. And if you went up to five, as we have talked about, to get him, that might sound crazy to some people, but it might not. It might be genius to others. So the craziest draft rumor I heard was to move up three spots, give up the draft capital it would take, and to draft a left tackle.
Yeah, I don't like that idea at all, even though I do like Joe Alt because he's a Notre Dame guy. But you can sell me on going up to five if we got quarterback, 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 one through four. Mm-hmm. You can sell me on going up to five to get Marvin Harrison Jr. And then the combination that Marvin Harrison Jr. only visited two teams, and one of those teams was the Bears, that he supposedly wants to get matched up with Caleb Williams. That you can sell me on. That I am all on board with. I think it's crazy. Don't think it's going to happen. But to answer this question, that's the craziest thing. The Bulls moving up to four or five to get Marvin Harrison Jr. Maserati Mav.
All right, the craziest one I heard right away, we talked about it too, I think a few weeks ago, was staying on Maserati Marv is the fact that he could fall down to nine.
That is the craziest.
That's
right.
The one I heard.
That's
and
the
fact that we heard, and we do have audio of this somewhere, I can find it, that there's been talks that Marvin Harrison Jr. wants to be a Bear. He wants to fall. That's why he didn't do none of the workouts and none. He wants teams to sour him and slip so he can fall to the Bears.
What's the basis of that, you think? Because of the relationship with DJ Moore? Because they're both were they track teammates at one point?
Yeah, it was track teammates, yeah.
DJ Moore talked about that. Do you think that's part of it? Do you think it's because of the Chicago market? Caleb Williams?
I think it's a mixture of all of those things. And
I love that
you
one,
saw
though.
Sauce Gardner talk about
– yes.
Tweeted out, like, look at the Bears. Like, how did they get two top 10 picks? Like, and then they got, like somebody's getting fleeced.
People are talking about the Bears, and it's not as a punchline. That's awesome.
And that's the thing that you love all about it. So that's the craziest one I heard.
Yeah, these are questions we really don't know the answers to right now.
That is the voice of Dan Pompey. He's got a really interesting pre-draft piece in The Athletic talking about tiers of quarterbacks, and this is a draft that is quarterback crazy. The NFL looking for young quarterbacks. A week from today, we'll be describing the first round of the NFL draft and projecting the Bears with Caleb Williams. And since it's such a foregone conclusion, the Four Letter Network's Lewis Riddick wondered aloud Thursday whether the Bears made up their mind a little bit too fast on Caleb and suggested they didn't do their homework on the others. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I really have a lot of respect for Lewis Riddick. I think he's outstanding at what he does and talks to a lot of people. I also think that if this is the rhetoric surrounding the Bears, I'm not sure it's entirely fair. I don't think it's that accurate, and I think it might be the kind of thing you say or that fills the space between the now and the beginning of the draft. There's a lot of time before the draft. We know because we've been talking about this since the end of the Bears season, which ended in January. There's a lot of rhetoric. The draft season is a season unto itself. There's the combine. There's the pro day. There's the visits. There's all the speculation. And so I think right now what you see is in that void where there's not really anything happening except for conversation and speculation, you get theories like this. I don't think that if you found your guy, you can stop looking. If you're convicted that, if you feel with conviction that Caleb Williams is the quarterback that's going to change your future, you do your due diligence, and if it's already been performed, you don't look busy just to look busy. You're not inviting three guys to play putt-putt golf at Hallis Hall just because you can say you did. Like, that sounds crazy to me if you're the Washington Commanders. But I don't think that as the Bears get ready to draft Caleb Williams, anybody should feel like they haven't done their homework. They've done their homework.
But have they had another quarterback in for one of these 30 visits?
I don't think so.
And so that's what I find interesting, that they have. Now, I don't like what the Commanders did. They did this thing where they brought in, what, three or four of the guys together, right? I got a ton of respect for Lewis Riddick. Another guy who I've got a ton of respect for is Herman Edwards. Now, Herman Edwards recruited Jaden Daniels, mm-hmm. had Jaden Daniels at ASU
yep.
before he ended up going to LSU. Something about the S. But Herm Edwards said that Jaden Daniels would be his guy at number one if he were running the Bears.
That's like a father talking about his kid, of course.
Well, okay, but I'm just, I mean, I guess my point to the reason there's some legitimacy to what was said by Lewis Riddick is the fact that only one quarterback came in for that extra special visit. So, like, did they not like how he putted or he didn't throw the darts well? Did they talk to him at the combine? Like, do we know that? Other than, like, in passing, did he have one of those, you know, whiteboard meetings, the speed dating, if you will, down in Indy?
They went to J.J. McCarthy's pro day.
Okay, but they split up
yeah.
the LSU day.
Okay.
Like, everybody didn't go to LSU.
You're not going
to
take him. You might sign him as a free agent down
so
the road.
So you're done. We're going back to that. Nelson, where you said you made a declaration. There is no talk of trading the number one pick. Caden Williams is the number one pick.
When
moving
you
on.
You know.
I mean, to play devil's advocate on it, I feel maybe so. They a little bit too fast. I'm fine with them saying Caleb's our guy. But I do, to piggyback on what Dustin's saying, they didn't. All their, like, reps wasn't there for McCarthy or Daniels or May. They didn't go to no special nightclub or have a nice little dinner somewhere with these other ones. So, I mean, I get it. That's their guy. And, I mean, even go back before that. I mean, they traded Justin Fields, and we had talk about it before they even knew about Caleb Williams, like, having his own workout before he met really with the Bears fully. Their own private workout. So, I mean, they could have just already made their minds up. We know we're getting Caleb Williams. This is our guy. We don't have to look at the other ones because this is the one. So, I can see that on the other side.
Yeah, no, it's a great question.
All right, here we go. Mark Lazarus of The Athletic asked this question on Twitter. Do you want the Blackhawks to bring back Patrick Kane? He is, by the way, a free agent this summer. How would you answer, yes or no?
It's a good question. It's relevant because it's something that a lot of fans are wondering about because Patrick Kane is a free agent. He went to Detroit, and I think he acquitted himself quite well. I mean, he got the shootout goal. The Red Wings finished in dramatic fashion. They came back, and then they were still eliminated from the playoffs because the Capitals won. But Patrick Kane still has something left in the tank. Clearly he does. Now, Kyle Davidson, in fairness, has not shown any indication that he has any interest in this question. And he might click on the Athletic website or Laz's Twitter account and say no, because no, he just isn't interested. Even though Laz now, this morning, update, they've had 1,881 votes, 70% of people asked say yes. I love the idea. I think you could figure it out. I think there are worse ideas. I don't like the necessarily, it's a pipe dream to say, well, Taves is coming back, Kane is coming back, and they're going to run it back. No, you have your specific needs. And right now, the Hawks need to score some goals. This guy can help you do that. He's a reminder. He's a remnant of the past. If he can find a two-year deal, I say, why not? But I'm also, full disclosure, Patrick Kane, to me, is the most exciting Chicago sports athlete I have covered. He's my favorite one, so take that for what it's worth. Yes, I vote and click yes.
Well, I would vote and click yes as well. A couple other things that the Blackhawks would need to find out. Number one, does Patrick Kane want to be a Blackhawk again? He'll always be a Blackhawk. When you put your name on three Stanley Cups, you'll always be a Blackhawk. But does he want to do that again? Is he looking to put his name on the cup again? And does he want to do that? You know, does he want to go home? Does he want to be a Buffalo Sabre? But, the fourth of never is when they're going to win a Stanley Cup. So that's not happening.
Can the Hawks win a cup in the next 3 years? Yes.
Does he want to be a mentor for Connor Bedard?
Yes.
Is that something that he looks forward to doing?
Did you see his face on the scoreboard during Chelios' ceremony?
I watched it.
He was, like, wistful.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if he really wants to.
Oh, hey, Molly.
Hi, David. How you been? It makes you wonder if he really wants to be the secondary star to Bedard. That's all. I'm not saying he couldn't play that role. I'm not saying there's not a lot of hockey left there. He is two teams removed. I don't know. I don't know if they want him because they kind of moved on. Should they want him? Absolutely. Do they need more firepower? Yes. But is that the guy that kind of, I don't know what the term would be. Is that the guy that would take you to the next level in your development? I think he'd be great here, and I think people would love him. But I also think it's Bedard's team to a certain extent. And it's a different role. It's a secondary, less starring role than you once had in the same town. And I just wonder if people want to do things like that.
I think he would. I think he has. The Rangers, he was not the guy. And certainly in Detroit, he took a back seat because he was injured, and then he emerged as a threat in the clutch. But
as long as he's good with that, I think it would work fine.
It is. It'd be fun. I think it'd be a fun departure.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.